Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and these guys wouldn't give their last name.
Really?
And I just thought that was kind of weird, man. Like, he was like, I don't want people to know who I am. Because I guess, like, he was afraid if people knew who he was that they could look him up and taunt him online or something like that.
Well, we already get that.
Yeah, I don't care. I do agree with CM Punk about one thing. If I get taunted, it's like somebody starts yelling in my window, I just close it. I don't care what somebody I don't know thinks about anything.
Speaking of CM Punk, that's another episode I want to do. Yeah. So, hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with and the wrestling you need to watch now. And this episode is going to be laser focused. We're going to...
So you say.
Yeah. It's going to be laser focused
on... We've never laser focused on anything. We tried to in the beginning, and then we were like, you know, this show would be a lot better if we just riff on what
we'll give ourselves some freedom, but the main topic...
Yeah.
The jumping off point for this episode is going to be the fallout from Money in the Bank, which was just last Sunday night, and then the news on Tuesday morning after Raw, because Tuesday is after Monday, that Roman Reigns has been suspended.
And also that they knew he was going to be suspended.
Yes.
What the story coming out is before they even set any of this up, they knew he was going to be suspended. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, Adam Rose or some Jerry Lawler and those guys are sitting around going, you know, I wish they liked me as much as they liked Roman Reigns.
Right, right. So, let me just go ahead and
Hornswoggle, poor Hornswoggle who just couldn't pee.
Yes.
And they said he violated the wellness policy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So, Sunday night was one of the, in my opinion, as far as television, one of the greatest nights of entertainment, because you had Game 7 of the NBA Finals, which I was invested in, and so that's what I watched. I watched Game 7.
Okay. I don't watch basketball, so I...
You had Episode 9, which is... You had the second-to-last episode of Game of Thrones, which is always the best episode of the season. You had that.
Yeah.
And you had Money in the Bank.
And you had Preacher.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Nobody else is watching, apparently.
Yeah.
It's not catching on like The Walking Dead did, I don't think.
Yeah.
Which kind of is disappointing because it's such a good show.
Well, how many episodes are they in on that now?
Three or four. I know I've watched three. I watched the pilot and then I watched the first two. I haven't watched the rest yet. But I'm throwing it out there because I just like to promote stuff that I like. I want other people to know they should check Preacher out. Not if you're probably easily offended, but
not if you're an actual preacher.
Yeah, maybe not.
I'm interested. We had a brief conversation of what this show is about, and I'm and it's intriguing to me to see how it's portrayed.
Right. Right.
And it's always been one of those cult comic book titles that everybody talks about. I've never had the opportunity. So I say all that.
I picked up book one while we were at Second and Charles, because I don't know if our video will ever make it to.
It will. I've been
but
out.
But it's weird, so when everybody hears it, because they'll probably hear this first.
No. That episode will come out tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, after you've heard this, then you'll know it just kind of cuts off in the middle of the episode.
No. I'm trying to get the dash cam video that didn't stop recording. So that's why I haven't...
Did we keep talking about what we were talking about?
Yeah. I mean, we completed the thought, and then we said, oh, no, the phone cut off.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So let's talk. So Money in the Bank. So I'm watching the finals, and I'm reading about Money in the Bank.
Right.
And then when the...
Because there's no better way to enjoy wrestling than by reading about what happened.
But when the AJ Styles Cena match came on, I'm watching the game on TV, watching that match
on the
iPad. So I would love, to me, a couple of things about this pay-per-view. Number one, how many matches did they have on this card?
It was a lot. I mean, there was some weird stuff that went on during the four-way tag match. Like the finish got botched a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So it was a real awkward finish where like the Vaudevillains took a big move and then just kind of laid there for like 30 seconds before somebody pinned one of them because I can't remember. It's Gallows and Anderson. What do they call that finish they do? I can't remember. It's like
the money magic, money maker.
Yeah, something like that. Some name. I don't know what they call it.
They didn't call it that.
Yeah, they didn't call it that.
The magic killer.
There you go. So they got somebody's up for something. Big E is there. He's got somebody. Big E's got somebody up for the big ending, I think.
Yeah.
I'm botching telling you about their botch. But anyway, like I think Big Cass was supposed to be there to knock Gallows over the top rope or something, and it just kind of everybody was just kind of standing in the ring looking at each other, waiting on him to hit his mark. And it just come out, it was bad, and then the Vaudevillains had laid there for like 30 seconds or something before somebody finally pinned one of them.
Right.
So it kind of ruined the match to me.
Yeah.
To my untrained eye. Of knowing what I'm looking for, it ruined the match for me.
So
when the timing was off,
that is something we run into in this day and age of wrestling, where it is much more choreographed and much more intricate,
and everybody, especially when you get six guys who have to be in the right position,
right,
and the timing to get everybody in the right. And when it comes off, it's magic.
Yes.
And we'll talk later about a time when six guys did pull off some magic.
Yeah, that'll be the next episode.
That'll be the next episode. But it just, to me, it took me out of the match to see, like, Big E was just standing there looking at Luke Gallows at one time, like holding his man up.
Yeah.
And he's just standing there.
Yeah, and to me, they've got to be given the freedom. Or they've got to learn, okay, we ain't just going to stand here. We got to do something.
I don't know. I'm just guessing that in today's overly choreographed, talk about everything in the back for four. We're going to have a 10-minute match, so let's talk about it for 2 hours in the back.
Yeah.
I don't know that the ability is there.
Yeah.
To ad-lib for a lot of these guys.
Especially like,
when they haven't been trained that way.
If it's a one-on-one match, you can improvise a lot better than, like you said, there's eight guys.
Yeah, because this guy's still going to be coming in to do his thing, and now if we're not in position, it's not going to work. So, yeah, it's just those multiple-man matches are always hard.
So, every time I think the New Day is going to lose the titles, this is the night.
Yeah.
They just keep winning and keep winning. And I have no issue with that. But I mentioned the number.
They keep selling stuff.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean,
but I will say that New Day versus the Wyatts is not something I'm interested in at all.
Oh, is that what they're building?
Yeah. Well, they're not building to it. They're doing it.
Huh.
Yeah. But it was weird because, like, the Wyatts came back and the New Day interrupted them. And I just felt like it should have been the other way.
Why would the New Day want to interrupt?
Right, why would they interrupt the Wyatts? But it would make more sense. Just little tweaks to things that would make more sense if the Wyatts came out and were like, we're tired of this goofy crap.
Right.
We're men, and this is about fighting, and you out here worried about playing trombones. It's a small tweak.
Yeah.
But for the New Day to be like, why are you guys so glum? It's just, it's just little things like that.
Right.
That put the heat on the wrong people.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's me. It's me personally in my 30 plus years of watching and analyzing the sport. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doing what I like.
So I mentioned the number of matches. WWE is now 11 p.m. is not a hard cutoff time anymore.
No, which sucks when you got to work the next day like I do.
It went at least till 11:30, 11:35.
It was like 11:30.
So my question is, you might think that's a small thing, but we've been saying from the beginning of the network that they're moving away from the pay-per-view model. And they're saying this is going to be only on our network. And they basically have told the pay-per-view companies, listen, we're going over.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it.
If you'd like to keep doing business with us and getting this little bit of revenue, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah. I think John Cena, yet again, had
a great. Did you watch the match?
I did watch
Don't tell me you watched most of a match.
Okay.
And then you're going to sit there and comment on it. But I felt, you know how I feel about that.
I know. But I felt that Cena, again, had
a good. You watched the finish, didn't you?
No, I watched more than the finish. I missed like the first 2 minutes of it.
Okay. All right.
But I felt like I felt like I wanted more build to this. I mean, we basically just had a month.
All right. I agree.
Uh-huh.
But it just in this day and age of a pay-per-view every month, that's not going to happen. Right. Plus, this is the first chapter of the story.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, especially with the ending.
Yeah, the way it finished and the match, they didn't do everything in the match. That's like they had a really good 3.5-4-star match.
Right.
AJ Styles was proved why he is what he is.
Yeah.
He's the phenomenal one.
Yeah.
And he is. He is that good. He's one of the few guys that lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
And there's a reason you could if you missed the first 2 minutes of that match, you missed the best part of it.
Oh.
When they were facing off against each other.
Yeah.
And it's one of the first times. Remember Cena said a few months, maybe a year ago, it was on Austin's podcast.
Yeah.
When he talked about them chanting, "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks."
He said,
the only reason they're chanting Cena sucks is because they don't care about the other guy.
Right.
And he was right because nobody chanted Cena sucks. It was "Let's go Cena, let's go AJ."
Yeah.
Nobody chanted Cena sucks.
Yeah.
Because they cared about AJ Styles.
Right.
So if you missed those two guys just standing in the ring and there was nothing that got a reaction that night. With the title change, people are always going to pop for it. People popped when Sheamus beat Roman Reigns.
Yeah, when he cashed in.
I mean, people pop for a title change. That's going to happen. But there was nobody that got a sustained reaction like those two guys not touching each other.
Yeah.
Just standing in the ring looking at one another.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that probably since Cena and Punk at that Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
Where people cared about the other guy.
Yeah.
For a change.
Yeah.
And obviously they see it because they give him they could have chosen a lot of people to be on Austin's podcast.
Yeah.
They chose AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And that says clearly that they think something of him and they realize that they've got a commodity with him. And I know people get upset that he lost a few matches
leading into
this. But you have to if you don't understand that's that company testing how he handles those situations, then you haven't been watching that company because that's what that company does.
Right, right.
When they bring somebody like that in, they always crap on them a little bit to start with.
Yeah.
They brought Jericho in as a very big deal and then crapped on him for a few months before they kind of introduced him into the main event picture because they want to see how you're going to handle.
And 15, 16 years later, Jericho's still there.
Right.
So think about AJ, the thing that this match proved to me was that AJ was on a pay-per-view losing streak to the champ, to Roman Reigns.
Right.
And it did not dim anyone's enthusiasm.
Why should it?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I tell you what I like, too. There's this little subtle thing that happened that tells me where they're going. Well, where they were going. I don't know about now.
Yeah.
In the future was when Cena said, "You couldn't beat Roman Reigns and you want to jump on me?" Which I thought was this great seed.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it was an off-the-cuff remark.
Uh-huh.
Like to me it was very clearly, let's plant a seed that these two guys are going to have to face off down the line somewhere. Because we all know that's the big money match, probably WrestleMania. But knowing them, they'll do it at the pay-per-view before the Royal Rumble. Because I don't understand.
The December pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't understand kind of like just the same, and we'll get to it, but the main event with the three-way, I don't understand why you just jump right to that.
Right.
You know, I thought there are other ways to get to that and save it for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, unless they've got other...
Well, now they
do. Well, so I think a couple... I think AJ Styles, again, we said this 2 years ago, that AJ Styles, in this day and age, changed... In some ways, changed the way business is done. Meaning,
because I heard, this has got nothing to do with nothing. You and I were talking about Ricochet the other day, and Kai was kind of joking about his money. Well, I heard a report come out yesterday that the El Rey Network, not Lucha Underground, but the El Rey Network, is offering him somewhere around $300,000 contract.
Yeah.
So that they can lock him in. And if Lucha Underground doesn't renew, he will still get the money because the El Rey Network is putting it up.
Yeah.
Not the company of Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
They know that they have a commodity with Ricochet.
Yeah.
And you're talking about now, if you figure in that with, let's say he makes $100,000 a year.
Other places
because once you get on TV, it changes how much you can charge.
Yeah.
We've talked about that. I mean, when you start looking at booking guys, there's guys that are great that have all kind of indie cred, but they're not on the national TV level.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they just get on Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And they jump up to $1,500, $2,000 to book them just because they're on TV. So you figure if Ricochet now has jumped up to that, plus whatever he's making, T-shirts and stuff like that.
And New Japan takes care of people.
Right. So now... How much money would WWE have to offer to get a guy like Ricochet?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it is. People think, oh, well, Lucha Underground ain't drawing that many people. And that may be the case, but they're not a traveling, touring wrestling company. They're a TV production.
Well, here's the Lucha Underground. So, one of my buddies that I just saw this week, listener of the show, shout out to Michael Jernigan. Mm-hmm. Good supporter of the show. We met him at FanFest last year.
Yeah.
Jernigan said, man, I want to go. Like, he was planning a trip to California and trying to work it around, hitting up Lucha Underground and PWG.
Hey, good luck getting PWG tickets, man.
And he said, for Lucha Underground, they're free. The tickets are free. You just have to sign
up.
You
have to be there.
And you got to be there when they got the tickets. Mm-hmm. And so what people have to understand with Lucha Underground, they got a completely different business model.
It's almost like a minute ago I just said they're not a touring wrestling company. They're a TV production. But go ahead and tell everybody what they need to understand about this company.
You and I, we explain things different ways.
I know.
But that's why El Rey is willing to put up that kind of money.
Is it?
Shut up. Shut up. But
this is fascinating insight. Fascinating.
But back to AJ Styles.
Like, we joke around about us being Fred and Barney, but you're a lot more like Fred than I am.
Barney.
Barney's always got an idea, and Fred will just hear it and not pay it, and then he'll regurgitate it right back out. And go, you know, Bon, I got a great idea.
So, you know, one of these days, I'm going to go back in editing, and I'm just going to edit out all your audio, and it's going to be a solo podcast.
I can't even get you to edit the shows that are supposed to be going up every Monday.
I'm one behind.
And
you're
going to go back and edit me out.
I'm one episode behind. One. One.
One, as of today.
As of today. But AJ Styles proved that you don't have to work for WWE to make a good living.
Right, and that was my point. I mean, these guys, some of them are changing the business model for how workers get paid, and I think it's great.
So I think another thing...
We were going to do 15 minutes on this. Where are we at now? Just out of curiosity.
We're at 20. No.
Okay.
So let's, let's talk about the... Because when we talk about... We're going to talk about PWX on the next episode, the show we went to.
Uh-huh.
So on that, I want to talk about kind of the business guys getting signed, that thing. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the main event.
Well, we have to, before we talk about the main event, you have to talk about Money in the Bank.
Oh, sorry.
Which was good. Yes. It was a good match. Did you watch it?
Have not had a chance
good
to
match.
Watch
not it. Not great.
Yeah.
But it was good in that, like, you and I watched the first one, and then you kind of seen where they have become these train wrecks over the past few years, and it has been scaled back, which I'm glad. I didn't have those moments where I was like, no, I don't want, don't do that. Wasn't any of that in this match. I mean, they did some stunts, and that's always my problem with this. Yeah. It looks like they're doing stunts where they start setting the ladders up in crazy ways. But they did a good job of who's going to win this thing.
Yeah.
Because to me, there were only three real contenders.
All right.
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Dean Ambrose were like the only thing. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't going to be Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's good. He's great. Maybe Cesaro. I throw Cesaro, could have won. But I didn't really think they'd go with him.
Yeah.
But Sami Zayn, just the presentation is just not, this doesn't work for me.
Right.
The hat. And I got a hat like that. Yeah. But I don't wear it to the wrestling ring.
Right.
I don't, is he supposed to be a hipster?
I don't know.
First of all, he's a Canadian Muslim.
Is he a Muslim?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is real now. And maybe not.
He's from the Middle East. WWE sent him, when they signed him, even when he was in NXT, they sent him on the tours of, not Saudi Arabia, because that's his heritage is.
And I don't have, I'm not saying, but no, what we're I'm just, saying is like, it's a weird presentation of a guy who's a Muslim from Canada, but he acts like a hipster. Yeah. But he's like really excited about everything and the music.
Yeah.
And the hat and the jacket, it just doesn't work for me. Like the presentation. I'm not saying that he needs to be Muhammad Hassan.
Right.
Like that does
to me that wouldn't fit either.
Right, it wouldn't fit him. I'm not saying that he needs to be a Canadian like Bret Hart, where like being Canadian that like I'm not his heritage doesn't have anything to do.
He doesn't really have a gimmick.
Right, his gimmick is just kind of like, "Hey, I love fun." And plus his name's Sammy.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to envision world heavyweight champion and his name being Sammy.
Sami Zayn.
I just don't like the name.
Yeah.
I don't like the name. But bell to bell, he's incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I thought, to me, the only real two that probably would have won were Owens. And I thought Owens would win.
I did, too.
And Ambrose.
I did, too.
And, of course, Ambrose won. And it was good. I mean, I didn't have a problem with him winning. As the kids say, it was his turn, because that's how wrestling works.
Yeah, it really.
First of all, I hate that, by the way. It's somebody's turn.
Right.
That's a bunch of wimps that's been raised up getting a turn with everything.
Yeah, nobody said. Paul Jones never got a turn with the world title.
No.
Paul Jones knew his place on the card.
Yeah.
And he did it.
He did it well. I mean, I don't understand I heard somebody else talking about this the other day, the "you deserve it" chants and stuff. Hey, it's just deserved. As Clint Eastwood said in Unforgiven, deserves got nothing to do with it. who cares that somebody deserves it or that they've been there a while? None of that matters. The guy's a good worker. And you know why? Because he was drawing just as many people on the other show as Roman Reigns was drawing, which is where we're going to get to with the fact that Reigns ain't drawing nobody.
Right.
I heard a report that their house show attendance has been down 30% with him on top.
Wow.
And because clearly when people are telling you we're not into this guy, what they mean is I'm not buying your product because I'm not into who you're pushing.
Yeah.
And I get it because I can't remember the last time I watched Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
So clearly people are not interested. This guy, at some point you have to understand that Roman Reigns is the 2016 equivalent of Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's no place for him, and I'm not saying what he doesn't do well, but maybe he ain't the guy that you need to build your company around. Because if people I don't remember him saying we're going to start pushing Steve Austin and the house show attendance going down.
Right. No, people, to me, Roman Reigns just hasn't had that it factor yet. Mm-mm. I'm not saying he can't ever get it.
Because it's the same thing with Sami Zayn. You don't put him in the role that he naturally belongs in.
Yeah.
Look at the guy. He is not. He's Randy Orton. He's naturally not a good look. He doesn't look like a good guy.
Right. Right.
You can tell there's a smugness about him.
Yeah.
It's on his face.
Yeah.
He does not. Like John Cena, they can chant "Cena sucks" in his theme song, and it never rattles him.
No.
he's a main eventer.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can tell on the look on Roman Reigns' face is you're supposed to be cheering for me. I deserve. Why ain't nobody chanting? I deserve it.
Yeah.
It rattles him.
Yeah.
That people don't like him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't doing the good drugs. He wasn't doing the bad drugs.
He was just doing the drugs. So I thought that he and Rollins had a good match.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Rollins is always going to have a good match. And that was great when he went for the spear and Rollins.
Oh man. That was great. And that probably should have been it.
Yes, to me. Probably.
No, that should have
been it. Yeah. I mean, like... It didn't have to be overly done with those two guys. I thought it was a great match.
Yes.
And that's the thing about Roman.
Yeah.
He doesn't have bad matches.
No, right.
You can't wrestle stuff. I don't understand that, chanting at him, because he's a pretty decent worker.
Now.
Especially when he's in there with these guys that can, you know, create movement.
Can Roman Reigns go in there? Roman Reigns isn't going to go in there and chain wrestle for the first 5 minutes. And so, like, is that, like... For me, there's what are people expecting? Are they expecting, like, you can't wrestle, but can he perform?
Right.
Can he do.
But that was a good four-star match.
Oh, absolutely.
And it should have been. The same with Cena and Styles. The first match is not when you do the five-star classic.
No,
that's
right.
It's the last one. Like,
yeah.
It just, to me, I don't want to see them go out and do everything they know how to do the first time they get in the ring together.
And that, to me, that showed. I agree with everything you said. To me, that showed the experience of Cena and AJ.
Uh-huh.
That, hey, you and I can go out there at 50% and have a four-star match.
Right, and we're going to tear it up at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But let's give them, like when you go out and eat, sometimes you just need to get you some fried jalapeno poppers before your steak gets there.
Yeah.
You know, so let's go out and have our fried jalapeno poppers or our cheese sticks or our nachos or whatever we're going to get and kind of have a beer. And that's going to whet our appetite.
Yeah.
For the
steak.
For the steak that's coming.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what both of those matches did for me.
Right.
Like I love the Money in the Bank card. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, and it's one of the few ones I've watched recently where I really, really thought it was a good show.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, I never lost interest in it.
I haven't heard in the last couple of days. I've only heard good things about it. I mean,
yeah, it was a good
wrestling
show.
Fans. One of the things that you and I have talked about, wrestling fans, it's like they are just waiting to crap on what they're supposed
to
love.
Wrestling fans,
it's everybody.
Fans of anything. Look at the new Ghostbusters.
Is it coming out? Has it come out yet?
No, but it's coming out. And like the trailer hit and everybody starts crapping on it because it's not what they know. It's not Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that sucks. I would love to have seen
a
movie with those guys.
Right.
All right. Nothing would have made me happier because I'm not this big Ghostbusters mark like a lot of people are.
Right.
I like Ghostbusters. Yeah. I went and saw it in the movie theater. I enjoyed it. But it's not, like, I'm probably not going to go see this one. But I'll be honest with you, if it had been the original four actors, I wouldn't have gone to see it either.
Mm.
But I definitely would have watched it on DVD, and I'll definitely watch this one on DVD.
Yeah. Now, I do want to see the new Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too, because Roland Emmerich knows how to...
Woo!
I mean, like, that's his thing. Like, nobody does it better. Nobody destroys stuff better than Roland. And I think he's directing this one.
Yeah. So let me just tell you this. I think I said this to you the other day.
Stop cussing?
No.
Okay. Maybe you should listen to nicer music.
No. I know. You know how I know the world is not as good a place as it was 20 years ago?
Why is that?
Because 20 years ago, we didn't need Captain America and Thor and the Hulk to save us from aliens.
We had Will Smith.
We had humankind pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and says, not on this day.
That's right.
Not
on my watch. Yeah, we had Randy Quaid and Will Smith to save us and Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're
right. I never thought about it like that. Like, because that's like when real people rise up. And we're going to talk about some comics later, and I'll tell you why I think Batman is the greatest hero.
You don't have to tell me that.
I know that he's your favorite, and it's probably for the same reason.
Yeah.
But, like, you're right. When it's real people rising up, the stakes get raised a little bit more.
But I would say the same problem that I have with movies, also one of the problems I have with wrestling. And that is, I've seen the Statue of Liberty get destroyed. I've seen the Eiffel Tower get destroyed. I've seen this.
Right.
I'm ready for something new. And the same thing you were talking about, the Money in the Bank match. We've seen so much of this stuff already. We've right. seen the flips, and we've seen the spots, and we've seen you go through tables. And I'm ready for something
different. Yeah, I'm different. Ready to see it different.
And
I agree.
And I felt like...
I want to see like a 30-minute wrestling classic where nobody takes a bump. That's what I want to see.
Well, you and I saw a match
true
like that.
True.
So let's...
So anyway, let's get to Dean Ambrose. Okay, so Seth Rollins...
Were you surprised when Ambrose cashed
in? No, not at all. Well, I don't want to say not at all. I kind of felt like he's going to come out and they're going to set up a triple threat is kind of what... But it just, like, it fit Dean Ambrose's
yes.
character.
Yeah.
So good to, like, he's got no impulse control.
Yeah.
I've got this briefcase, and I yeah. can, and there's the match, and I got to go out there. Like, yeah. it suits his character to, like, immediately walk out there and cash it in. And I'm always amazed, like, when the referee looks at him with the briefcase, and they do this whole routine of, what do you want to do with this? What is this you've got here?
I want to cash
this in.
Oh!
What? Really? Oh, well, it looks like he wants to cash it in. I guess we better ring the bell. They go through this whole rigmarole.
So when Seth Rollins was the Money in the Bank winner, they posted on social media, because he always had the briefcase with him, traveled with it. Uh-huh. And I can just see Dean Ambrose winning Money in the Bank Sunday night, and they're like, well, Dean, you know, you're going to have to check that luggage. He's like, I ain't doing that. He's like, I'm cashing it in tonight. Yeah. Like, just like, I ain't, can y'all Jerry, expect
you
me?
You expect me to keep up with this thing for a year?
He's like, listen, I can't even keep up with my shirt. And also, like,
I almost expected him to come out at the beginning of the match, though, and make it a triple threat. I kind of thought that might have happened.
Now, I did like the fact that Seth, like, because Seth Rollins had won. Mm-hmm. He had been in the ring. He'd been in the middle of the ring for a minute or two. And then Ambrose came and cashed in. I like that he cashed in to a man that wasn't half out of it.
Right.
Like, I felt like, to me.
Which is more of a babyface move anyway.
Right. Right. He didn't come out when the guy was, you know, beat up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And boy, what a pop.
Yeah. Well, because people knew they were fixing to see a title change. They got to see two title changes. I mean, and we did too.
Yeah.
At Survivor Series. And it's cool to be there for a title change. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You, like, that's his, I mean, not as much in today's era.
But that's his first one.
Might have been, but it is kind of cool to be there.
Yeah.
Like, we saw Reigns win the title. Then we saw Sheamus cash in, and we were there live. And it's a cool feeling to be in the building when a title change
happens. Yeah. Even if, like, nobody likes Sheamus. No. But everybody was popping.
Right. Everybody popped because he won. Because you got to see two title changes in one night. How cool is that,
man? Yeah. So then Monday night they make the Battleground mm-hmm. main event, uh-huh. which is this triple threat that we all thought could have been WrestleMania this year. We all were thinking this is going to be WrestleMania eventually, the Shield triple threat match. And then
instead, we're just going to do it at Battleground.
So the match is made. The next morning, the announcement comes out that Roman Reigns has failed the wellness policy. We don't know what the drug was.
No.
We don't
know. And I won't speculate that it was steroids.
Or, you know, could have been marijuana.
No, they don't suspend people for smoking weed.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty confident, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Matt Sydal would disagree with you, Mr. Evan Bourne.
Now, here's what I know: at one time they fined them if they caught them, and then after so many times where they had it in their system, they would suspend them.
Because so I know one of the guys was smoking the synthetic marijuana, thinking, "Oh, well, they're not going to suspend me for that," and he did get suspended. Anyway,
whatever it was, steroids, I don't know.
I read a wrestling journalist wrote that he felt that Roman getting special treatment, not because they apparently knew before,
right,
that Roman getting special treatment is bad for the company.
You think?
And I absolutely agree with it. I don't think they have set up their cards around his. It's like, well, we got to suspend you, but we're still going to put you. Right. Like, to me.
Yeah, he's not getting punished. He's getting a month off.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
and this is the guy you have invested in. He's not going to be there for the draft. He's supposed to be, you know, probably going to be one of the top two picks. He's going to be the face of one of your shows. And to me, this has shown, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It for me, like you said, the guy, we hadn't been drawing. We don't know about his merchandise numbers. Fans don't want him. I
think it's an opportunity to go back to the drawing board.
Yes.
And I would use it as such, but they're not going to.
Yeah.
They're going to bring him back like nothing happened. And here's an issue. Here's the thing. I'm not the right guy to talk about sometimes with this stuff, and I know that everybody ain't going to agree with me, but I think he ought to be able to use steroids if he wants to. I know that not everybody agrees with that.
Right.
And that's fine. I don't know. They banned steroids and don't ban tobacco because big tobacco had more money than the people that were manufacturing steroids.
Right.
Cigarettes are probably 1,000 times worse for people than steroids. Okay.
Well, and it's possible, okay, that it wasn't a steroid, but it was some kind of banned supplement. So here's another.
Oh, yeah, there's over-the-counter stuff that that you're not allowed to take in those kind of stuff. So, but what I'm saying is, I don't care.
Right. Gotcha.
Whether it's marijuana, whether it's cocaine, whether it is steroids, or whether it's over-the-counter, or whether he took too much Sudafed, I don't care. I don't think they were to ban anybody from doing what they want to do. If your job is to be the biggest and the strongest and the fastest and you want to take something to give you an advantage, I got no problem with it. I can tell by the look on your face that you do, and that's fine.
No.
But there are people out there every day, you and I have had this conversation before, that pump their bodies full of stuff that their doctor gives them so they won't have to deal with the stress and strain and aggravation and anxiety of everyday life
that
the rest of us deal with. And I say get a helmet and get in the game.
Yeah.
Because this is life.
Right.
So why is that okay?
No, but
if a guy wants to take something because his muscles hurt and his muscles are sore, and it's going to have a side effect of making him a little bit bigger, but it's also going to help his muscles rebuild for the life that he lives, which is being athletic.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't care.
But I think part of it is the more – I think WWF's policies today – they have gotten more strict, maybe more strict than they need to be, because of all the scrutiny of all the deaths.
Right.
And guys who did drink a lot, and guys who did cocaine, and guys who did steroids.
I'm going to tell you what, there's no great, to me now, I will say this, there doesn't seem to be a greater poisonous cocktail for your body than cocaine and steroids.
Yes.
Because I really believe that is what's contributed. I think that steroids by themselves, cocaine by themselves are bad enough. But for some reason, when you combine those together, that is a toxic cocktail.
Yeah, yeah. Because you've got one drug that's, to me, steroids increases muscle mass. Well, your heart's a muscle.
It also increases the size of your heart, and then you're taking something that's causing your heart to beat twice as fast as it's supposed to. It's just a bad combination.
Yeah. And
so pick one or the other. And I'm not advocating cocaine. I think cocaine should be an illegal substance.
Right.
Okay. What I'm saying is I don't care if he uses it.
Right.
I think cocaine should be illegal. I don't think marijuana and steroids should be. And steroids aren't. If you go to the doctor,
right,
you get them prescribed. I mean, you can do that now. You can go find the right doctor, and he'll write you a prescription for testosterone all day long.
Right, right. I think I agree with you. If it were me, I would reset things. I'd say, you know what? And I think it's going to be very telling the next month, house show numbers, Raw ratings.
Right.
I think it's also very and this is where we're at in wrestling now. Cena got hurt. The company didn't miss a beat.
Right.
And it has become the the roster is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton's been out who knows how long. Nobody misses him.
Nah.
Nobody misses him.
I'm going to tell you, I think Randy Orton, maybe I shouldn't say this. I know that he was on his, if he failed the wellness policy one more time, he was going to have to, they fire you for a year.
Yeah.
How long has it been since he's been on TV?
It's been a long time, maybe a year.
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know that to be fact. I just wonder sometimes if they didn't make that, you know.
Well, I know, like, in this time period, he had gotten married, and he had surgery.
Yeah.
And I had read somewhere that he'd had shoulder surgery, but he was having neck issues.
Right.
And I've read a lot of things.
Titus O'Neil grabbed Vince McMahon's arm. He grabbed Vince McMahon's arm.
Yeah.
And they suspended him for how long?
60 days.
Roman Reigns, he
broke a written rule.
Right, he broke a written
rule. That's in his contract.
Right, and they're just going to work around it.
Yeah.
So, I don't like that. That's my issue with it. I don't like the fact that he's getting this special treatment.
Yeah.
And I will say this also.
Yeah.
I've never prescribed to athletes being role models.
Right.
They're not role models. They're people that get paid a lot of money to throw a ball around.
Yeah.
They're not role models. However, WWE presents their superstars as role models.
Yeah.
I never for a second thought Charles Barkley was meant to be a role model for me because he never acted like one. I never thought Lawrence Taylor was a role model because he never acted like one or presented himself as one. They presented Roman Reigns as a role model, and for him to fail, that's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. You want all these kids to look up to him, and then he does something stupid. It could have been too much Sudafed.
Yeah.
But whatever it was,
yeah,
you should tell people. That's what I think.
Right.
You should tell people what it was. And I don't know, man. I just think it's time to hit the reset button with this guy. Like, how can you bring him back as a big baby face after he fails a drug test like that?
Yeah.
Which, there ain't heels and baby faces in that company no more anyway.
So, let me say
except
this.
For Rusev.
So, let's close with this. So, to me, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm so excited, especially now.
Can't hide it.
I'm about to lose control.
And I think I like it.
But there's so, like Monday, you know, Money in the Bank. It was unexpected to see Ambrose walk out as champion. The draft's coming up. They're getting ready to sign all these new guys. The Cruiserweight Classic is getting ready to kick up. It's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. I'm intrigued. Like, I didn't get to watch all the Money in the Bank, but I'm intrigued. I haven't been watching Raw, but I'm intrigued. I'll watch the live draft. I'll watch the live because I'm intrigued about what's going to happen. And the fact, to me, they couldn't have scripted it better for Roman Reigns to be gone. Because now I'm intrigued about how they're going to bring him back.
Right.
Are they going to repackage him? Is he going to come back? And
he needs to come to me. He needs to come back as a killer.
To me, he needs to come back that first night and send Ambrose out on a gurney where Ambrose don't hop off of.
Send Ambrose and Rollins out.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna tell you what else I'd do if it was me. I'd repackage him and get him out of them
fatigues. Yeah,
I'd put him in a pair of trunks, even if they were long to something. You know what I'd model is look after is Aquaman in the new Justice League film.
I 100% agree.
Give him some nice trunk. I mean,
he's got this massive tattoo.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, a great physique, and you covered him.
He might not have that physique when he comes back. <Just saying. laughs> They might have to keep him. They might have to put two bulletproof vests on.
Oh, my. He might have Jim Hellwig syndrome.
Yeah, they'd be like, I think Roman Reigns died. They brought somebody else back. But remember when Chris Masters? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh. He was so swole, man. Then he left and come back, and he's like this little bitty guy.
Yeah, and he's still a little
like
bit.
Superman from the Flashpoint cartoon when he come back.
Oh, man.
A Pez dispenser out there. Big old head. A little bitty skinny body. I think they fired Roman Reigns and hired a Pez dispenser to take his place.
So anyway, we would love your thoughts on Money in the Bank, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. What do you think? Do you think that they're giving Roman Reigns preferential treatment and they're making a mistake in that? Matter of fact, let me ask you, has the way WWE's treated his suspension, has it turned you off a little bit?
Because it has me.
Yes, I 100%. We're on the same page.
It really has. I'm really disappointed with the way they have handled this.
Yeah, I mean, he ought to be buried or whatever, but oh well. I mean, but superstars get preferential. I mean,
That's right.
So, I mean, you always get preferential treatment.
Yeah, true.
Whenever we go anywhere,
uh-huh.
People cower at your feet. Every whim you have, it is given to you. And I'm just sitting there holding the door. I'm just sitting there, Mr. Whitman, where can I drive you today? Pretty much how it works. So anyway, we're on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken. Mark?
At the DDK Show.
We got our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. You need to go to our Facebook page and like us, The Double Dropkick Show. Hit that thumbs up button.
You have a Facebook.
I do have a Facebook. Mark is
I've been Facebook free for a few months, and it is great.
Let me just say this.
Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Let me just tell you this, okay? And I'm not just saying this. Mark is a naturally miserable person.
But not a pessimist. Not a pessimist.
Not a snitch.
But not a snitch.
But since he got rid of Facebook, and I'm being dead honest, it's taken a little of the edge off.
You think?
And I've seen that with myself because I noticed when I went to Buffalo, because of the work I was doing, I put Facebook on my phone because we were posting a lot of things. That's what I was getting paid to do. Uh-huh. Well, I didn't take it off, and I have noticed that pull back.
Yeah,
I'm not checking in as much as I was before, and I've noticed also that I have felt different physically.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it is looking at Facebook. I don't care what anybody says, is a physical addiction.
I agree. Oh no, it's proven.
Because when I took it off of my phone, and I mean I didn't just take it off my phone, and I didn't just disable my account. I went through the steps to permanently delete my account.
You don't exist as far as Facebook.
I don't exist as far as Facebook. Like you have to go. You have to contact them. You can't just do it. You have to contact them and send them a message, and they want to know why. And my response to why was because I want to. I need them to know.
When you
here's why?
Yeah.
Because I want to delete it. That's
when you deleted your account. The cover photo for our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
No trace of your existence.
I like it. I like it a lot. I hate that happened because that's a good photo, man.
Do you have it?
It was saved on my Facebook. I'll see, but I don't think I have it anywhere. And I'm sorry.
I'm sure you're not sorry.
I am, and that would be, that's the only thing I regret is there are some pictures that I lost, I think. But I mean, that's no big deal. That's the nature of using a phone as a telephone now. I mean, as a camera nowadays.
Yeah.
When you get a new phone, you lose some of that stuff. Especially if you send me a picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when I get a new phone, a lot of times I lose that stuff. Anyway, what I'm saying is after I deleted Facebook for a week, I would still find myself picking my phone up.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, yeah. I'm
looking.
And there ain't nothing there.
What am I going to look at? There's nothing for me to look at right now.
What I found is I was feeling that I was still not so much when I was with people, because what I have noticed more now is when I am with people, I'm not on my phone as much. So when I am with people who are on their phone, I don't say anything.
Uh huh.
I just observe that, make a mental, because the other day.
You're right.
The other day, I was with some people that I hadn't seen in a while. And one of them, I'm talking from the time I walked in the door. I'm talking 15 minutes. This person greeted me,
uh-huh.
then went back to their phone and maybe said three words over the next 15 minutes. Well, I'm there to see you and to interact with you, and it turned me off. And I don't think any of us realize what we look like.
Yeah, well, you're shutting the world out, man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I get it. It is a good distraction. It is a good time killer. But, man, it just, you and I mean, hey, we were eating breakfast this morning. What did I say to you when you picked your phone up?
Well, I got a text message.
And I wasn't being mean.
No, but you were right. But I didn't hear what you said. And you're like, well, you missed it.
Yeah.
You were not going to repeat yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's a good lesson. Good lesson learned. And I hope Roman Reigns learned his lesson.
Roman, speaking of lessons learned, hopefully
you like
WWE
segue,
learns
you?
Theirs.
So, hey, when you go on our website, doubledropkick.com, down toward the bottom of these show notes, you'll see an Audible banner. Click on it. Free 30-day trial.
That's the banner's job, is to be clicked on.
It is to be clicked on. If you don't click on the banner feels like it has no purpose.
Yeah, help the banner fulfill his purpose.
The banner called me the other day. Not a banner, not Bruce Banner, not some banner. The banner called me. Said Heath, ain't nobody clicked on me. I need.
That's sad. That's really sad.
Now we've had to get rid of some banners because they failed the wellness policy.
It's but this a free book.
It's a free book. Yes,
it's
no
a free
obligation,
audio book, man. What?
And I would, let me tell you the one you need to download that I'm listening to right now. Failure is Not an Option by Gene Kranz, who was the flight director for the Apollo missions. He's the guy that Ed Harris played in Apollo 13. This book, I mean, it's like 20 hours long.
Huh.
It is riveting. You get this guy's, the guy that was there from the beginning, from the first Mercury mission, he was one of the first guys. And you just hear all these stories that you haven't heard before. And you hear about his life and everything. And it's just a fascinating, fascinating, fascinating book. I got home and all I wanted to do was watch HBO's From Earth to the Moon. I just wanted to watch the NASA documentaries and Apollo 13. Like, that's what I wanted to watch. And you could get that book for free.
Well, I mean, who don't like free stuff?
This podcast is free.
For now. Have you heard of, I think it's Experian or something like that. What's the name of that? Not Experian. Patreon or something.
Patreon.
Yeah, that's sign up for a Patreon account.
I did. I think I have one.
Why don't I know about this?
I don't know. So Mark
sometimes
and I
wonder if you being completely honest with me about it, whether we're bringing in any money.
So Mark and I sat down.
Buying you breakfast, and you know, where are you over here telling? Oh, we got one of those.
Mark and I sat down to give you 25 minutes of Money in the Bank and Roman Reigns, and we gave you more than twice that because that's what we don't want you as a listener of this show. We never want to ask you to manage your expectations. We always want to exceed your expectations.
Yeah. And you too selfish to click on the damn Audible link and get a free book. What's that say? It says a lot more about you than it does about us.
That's right. No obligation. You sign up for the 30-day free trial. You download the book. And then right 2 minutes after you download the book, go say, you know what, I won't cancel it.
You cancel it, and you still got a free audio book.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign up because, as I've told you, I'm going down to Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
In a month or two, and my wife will be getting off of work that morning.
Uh-huh.
So she'll sleep the trip, and my plan is to download a nice audio book. And
the Terry Funk book I would highly recommend.
I don't know what I'm going to get yet. I really don't.
Hmm.
I ain't made my mind up, but I'm going to pick a nice audio book. I'm looking for something in like the 5 or 6 hour range, though.
I don't really want...
Like a 20-hour book, because no. She's not going to sleep more than 4 or 5 hours.
Right. No. Yeah.
You know, and she ain't going to want to listen to some book.
But. Yeah. Maybe between now and then, I could write a book and audibleize it.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah. So anyway, for the Double Drop Kick Show and the wrestling that you grew up with and the wrestling you need to watch now and stuff, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.